You're going to be blessed this morning. Is that a good thing? As I've been preparing this week, again, as usual, little faces popping up, then I pray for you. I keep praying for you. It's good, isn't it? It's good to be prayed for when you're not here. And I just want to add one thing to what Sylvia and Denise brought. This isn't in my word. But God enables us to rise above our circumstances. Somebody said to me this morning, I was sharing, we've had a really difficult week in the Moores household. We've had a very, very difficult week. And I was just talking to someone and they said, it sounds like you've been able to rise above it. And when I was just listening then, I just said to them, yeah, I believe that we have. Because we've found some times to laugh. We have really laughed this week as a couple, despite what's going on. And if I told you what had happened, you'd be going, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. But we have laughed and laughed. And God has really, really blessed us this week. Really blessed us. Even though it's been an incredibly difficult week for us. And I just want to give him all the glory. I'm going to talk this morning about sowing and reaping. And if somebody said to me, I'm going to talk about sowing and reaping, I might be tempted to switch off because I think by now, after 40 odd years of sowing and reaping, surely I must know everything about sowing and reaping. So what I'm going to say to you is don't switch off. Because God has been teaching me more about sowing and reaping as I've prayed. And I had this word before I went to Cornwall. Andy and I went to Cornwall the other week to recuperate the pair of us. And I was just reflecting on how God is so good. And I started to get these thoughts about sowing and reaping. This is recorded, so you'll be able to listen to it afterwards again, because there's lots of scriptures this morning. If you've got a phone and your fingers can type fast, you'll be okay. Okay. So, sowing and reaping was right at the beginning in the Bible. Genesis 1, verse 12 and verse 29. This is slide one. And the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds were produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. If you've got a seed for a banana, we ended up going to Eden when we were in Cornwall, and we saw some tropical plants. But if you're planting a banana, you don't get a tomato, right? So in the natural kingdom, what you plant, you get. Okay. And then the other scripture is then, God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for all your food. God's given us everything that was needed at the beginning. And I've given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the small animals that scurry along the ground and everything that has life. And that is what happened. So right, Genesis 1, God was there. Now, some seeds are sown by our parents. And as much as we try to be good parents, we're not perfect. And our parents weren't perfect. And their parents before them weren't perfect. And their parents before them weren't perfect. We're not in a blame culture. Politically, it don't matter what party you are, there have been seeds sown that affect people, that will affect people now. That'll affect people in the winter. That'll affect people in their income. That'll affect people how they feed the families. It doesn't matter what party's in. And there's also seeds been sown about the sin in the world. What you see around you. It's often a direct result of sin. But today, I don't want to concentrate on the negative aspects of sowing and reaping. I could cover both. I probably need 2 weeks. But all I want to do really is concentrate more today on God's blessing. Because God brings the increase. And what I want to encourage you this morning is whatever's going on in your Christian life, God wants to bring the increase. He wants to bring the increase. And God's reaping and sowing can be such a blessing in our lives. My first scripture that I'm going to read is Galatians 6, verse 6. And the context of this is Paul speaking to the Galatian church and giving them information about sowing because they were a new church and they needed to understand the process of sowing and reaping. Now, people would have been farmers. They'd have understood the natural process, but he was talking to them about the spiritual process. And he was talking to them about resources and understanding that sowing in flesh reaps flesh, but sowing in the spirit reaps spirit. I'm going to say that again. Sowing in the spirit reaps spirit. And that's what kind of I want to concentrate on today with you. Sowing in the spirit reaps spirit. Okay. So Galatians 6, my second slide, verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing good. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. My husband's a marathon runner. 26 marathons, 27 marathons he's run in his lifetime. The hardest part is at 22 miles, and I've seen him at 22 miles. I'm not being funny. It doesn't look like he could do another four. Because that's the point his physical body hits the wall. That's the point when all his resources, every muscle and bone in his body is saying, stop, 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 stop. And Andy keeps going. I don't know how he keeps going. I watch him and he really doesn't look like he could finish. But I see him at the end and you want to see him at the end. Sometimes he's even sprinting. So he's hit that awful wall and he pushes through, pushes through, pushes through. I see him at the end. I think, thank you, God, he's all right. And then I watch him. And sometimes he's even waving and smiling because he's a photograph. He's paid for it, you see. Paid for it. Don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Especially those in the family of faith. Reaping and sowing is a very important principle, naturally and spiritually. Also, just note that not giving up. Young people, don't give up. Whatever's going on, don't give up. Older people, don't give up. Whatever's going on, don't give up. Give it to God. Sowing in our daily life is a choice. And sowing into others. So you might be saying, well, who do I sow to? Some of you are newer Christians. Who do I sow to? So sow into your children. Doesn't matter how old they are. Don't care if they're 40, 50. I don't care how old you are. Continue to sow into your children. Continue to pray over your children. Continue. You have an effect. Continue to pray for brothers and sisters. But continue to pray for your family. Continue to pray for those that you work with. Zoff, when you're cutting people's hair, you don't know who they are. Pray for them as you're cutting their hair. God will bless them. It doesn't matter. You never know, a conversation might start while he's cutting their hair. Pray for family members. We've all got... We do really well in our family, but there's still some isms and schisms. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just because you're born into the same family doesn't mean that you're alike, that you get on. And some families don't speak for years and years and years. Now, thankfully, we haven't got that. But there isn't some schisms, and some people are not always that easy to get on with. And we as Christians need to ask God about that. So talk to God about it. The Old Testament is full of people who've lived life and sowed and reaped. Moses, Abraham, Joshua. There's loads of people in the Bible who have sowed and reaped. The New Testament, we've got Jesus. And we know that Jesus was with his disciples, that he served in John 13, verse 15. He served and he washed the disciples' feet. And if you want to read an example, those of you that are further on, read Thessalonians. That's an example of how to operate in church. Go home and read that this week. And Paul writes one of my favourite scriptures in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. I used to love that when I was young. I did. When I was a Christian and became when at 14, I used to love that. You can't look down on me because I'm God's. You can't look down on me because I'm young. You can't look down on me because I'm one of his sheep. John 10:10, that's the first scripture I learned at 14. Nobody could have put me down. I was like a little warrior. I was. Young people, be a warrior. Be a warrior. Nobody could put me down. And when I had real trouble, and I did, Romans 8 verse 28, nothing will separate me from the love of God. I used to sit there and I used to read it. I used to read it out. I used to go to my bedroom. When my dad was going on at me because I was coming to church, he really didn't like it. I used to go in my bedroom, Romans 8, verse 28. Nothing can separate me, Lord, from the love of God. Dad would be saying, you can't go to church tonight. And I'd be thinking, what do I do, Lord? He was worried about me. I get it. Because when I made that decision to love God, I was all in. I was all in. And I get why he was worried about it, being so young. But, you know, don't let people look down on you because you're young. Be an example in speech, in conduct, in love and in faith and in purity. There's a lot of impurity out there. It's so acceptable now not to be pure. You know, if you're not with the person before you're married, everybody thinks there's something wrong with you. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want us to have sex before we're married. He wants us to save the special things for our partner. But in this world now, everything is acceptable. Nothing is not acceptable. And sometimes it can feel the only thing that's not acceptable is being a Christian. So Christians get speaking. Because we are acceptable and our faith is acceptable. If you want a goal, I was thinking about this. If you want a goal, if young people want a goal, be an example. Be an example. Slide 4. So I'll pick this picture. It's an old-fashioned picture for those that are listening. It's an old-fashioned picture of a farmer with his hat on, and he's got a sack, and he's got seeds, and he's walking across the field, and he's throwing seeds into the field. And this describes what I want to talk about sowing. So you've got a bag, you put your hand in, you get your seeds out. So when I've done my lawn, get my seeds out, chuck them out. Keep sowing. You keep sowing. Now it's done by tractor and all the rest of it, fine. But in this particular thing, I've done this picture because it's so personal. Keep sowing. I am sowing with God. So, hand in the bag, seed, sow. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up when it's tough. Don't give up when it's cold. Don't give up when it's raining. Don't give up when somebody upsets you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I want to encourage you to sow and sow and sow and sow. And some of you say, when do I stop sowing? Well, you won't be here when you stop sowing. That's when you stop sowing. When you're not here, that's when you stop sowing. And you'll continue to reap and reap and reap and reap. I think there's something in my head that really, because you kind of sow into the seasons, you see the farmer sow in the spring or in the autumn for the next crops that are coming, we possibly think sometimes that we only sow at particular times of the year. And what God's been speaking to me about, particularly, I would say, for quite a while now, and why I brought this is, that I'm sowing continually. I'm sowing continually. It's not a seasonal. It's not spring. It's not summer. It's not winter. I'm sowing and I'm sowing and I'm sowing. It's not something I pick the bag up and think, all right, I'll go out today. The sun's shining. I've got to continue to sow. But what will happen is during that time period, I will reap some. And I will reap some. So I'm sowing. But at the same time, I will be reaping. There'll be things that happen. I'll bump into people. There'll be conversations about God. I will be blessed. I will be blessed. I will be blessed. When I was in Cornwall, I can't tell you how blessed I was. Andy and I were so blessed when we went to Cornwall. We'd both had an operation. Andy'd only just been allowed to drive. I couldn't drive. I phoned the lady up to where we were staying. I'm thinking, we've got to get to Cornwall. So we thought, right, what we're going to do, put the dogs in kennels and everything. Thought, no dogs, we need a rest, we need to get there. And we'd booked this lodge on a farm, and I'd booked it a while ago. And God's timing was amazing, because I had my operation the week before, and I wasn't supposed to have it till 3 weeks after the holiday. The holiday was coming to give me a rest. But actually, the holiday helped us both recuperate. It was fantastic. So I phoned this lady, and I said to her, you've said that we can get there between 4 and 7 p.m. So she went, yes. I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't know whether we'll be there for 7 o'clock in the evening. And she went, oh, okay. I just said, my husband's driving. I said, he's had an operation on his arm. We're going to have to keep stopping because it's a long way to Cornwall because we live in Manchester. So I said, I don't know how long it's going to take us. And I said, and I'm really sorry. I said, when we booked this, I intended to share the driving. I said, and I can't drive. So she went, okay. And then she said, I said, I've had an operation. So she went, oh, you've been in the wars a bit, you two, then, haven't you? So I went, yeah, we have a bit, yeah. So she said, well, do you know what I'm going to do? She said, I'm going to upgrade you. I said, are you? She said, yeah. I'm going to upgrade the lodge that you have, a much nicer lodge. She put us right next to the heated swimming pool. Now, I couldn't go in it. I could only dangle my legs, but that was great for me. I just sat by the heated swimming pool outside, dangled my legs. We had a lovely view. She upgraded us. Wasn't God good to us? Yeah. I just thought, Lord, I'm so blessed. It was immaculate. It looked brand new. There was not a spot of dirt in it. It was immaculate. We had loads of room. I always dream big. 6 people could stay there. It's only me and Andy. But we had a lovely time and we were so blessed. And we just ate when we want, slept when we want, chatted when we visited friends, visited family. It was such a blessing, that place. And geographically, it was bang in the middle of where we needed to go. Andy'd always wanted to do the Eden park run, you know, the big Eden domes. We went there. He ran in the park run, something he'd always wanted to do. It was amazing. God really blessed us. We were so blessed. So continually. Slide 5. The seed is the word of God, so vital for your daily life. Sowing to the Spirit, speaking to God, keeps that spiritual connection. My spirit to God, so he tells us what to do. So there's 2 things here that you can read. Galatians 5, which is fruits of the Spirit. So those of you who are new to being a Christian, read Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And then we've got the gifts of the Spirit. And those of you who are Christians and have been going on the road a long time, there's many, many gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Have a look at them. And we're very blessed in this church that we have a lot of gifts in this congregation. We have a lot of gifts. A lot of gifts. Some people have the gift of mercy. Some people have the gift of serving. There's all sorts. Some people have the gift of administration. There's loads of gifts. I want to have a look at them there. And I want to say this to you. Eternal life, I know I'm promised it, but it's the extra blessing. I'll say that again. If there was no heaven after this, I've already been blessed enough here. Yeah. Did you hear that? I believe there's a heaven, and I believe that I'm going to be with God. But what I'm saying is I'm so blessed here. My relationship with God here is so important. If there wasn't anything else after this, what I've had here is great. I just want to encourage you. Slide six. Sow kindness, reap kindness. I'm going to just dip into the negative 2 minutes. If you lie, quarrel, or call people, you'll reap the same. And I'm going to dip out of that negativeness, but you need to know that. So, I'm going to show you this now. What is this? Potato. Yeah. And Andy and I have grown this. Okay. And at the time we come to plant these potatoes, we were having a row. And we're having a row because I got the book out how to plant them, and Andy got the fork out and was doing it. And I was saying, I don't think you do it like that. And he's planted potatoes for years. And he just said to me, how many years have I been planting potatoes? And you're there with the book. So we ended up having a row. And in the end, I walked away. And my husband was right. Because these are the potatoes. My husband was right. These are the potatoes that we grew. But what I want to show you is, right, when you grow them in rows, we only put, most of them were that size, weren't they? Yeah. And you want to see the early potatoes that we've got. We've got quite a few bowls of potatoes, all from one little potato. Probably 20, did we plant about 20? About 20 potatoes. Trying to get these on the vine, but they're not. So these, what are these? Tomatoes. And guess who's grown the tomatoes? Me. So I've got generous friends and neighbours who give me tomato plants, and I do buy them. But these are beautiful tomatoes. And again, I only did six plants, and these are all my tomatoes. Loads and loads of tomatoes off six plants. And finally, do you know what this is? Sweet corn, yeah. So I planted my own sweet corn, six tiny little yellow little corns, and I've probably got about 20 of these. So that's great. I'm going to have that with butter in the microwave. Gorgeous. But what I want to say is, those were just sown with a tiny, tiny little piece of corn. And what you get with God is, whatever you plant seed with God, he multiplies it. Just as in the natural world, he multiplies it. So you can have the tiniest, tiniest seed and you will have a harvest. It'll be far more than what you thought that you were going to get. Sow sweet corn, you reap sweet corn. Sow tomatoes, you reap tomatoes. I just want to read this to you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who generously gives generously gives, and God will provide all your needs. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Sowing seeds. One of the things that I've really enjoyed in my life is sowing seeds into relationships with God's help. And I'm going to say with God's help. So sowing a seed, it's conversation, it's contacting somebody through a text, it's going, meeting them, it's making an effort. If we don't do anything, you see, nothing will change. But if we contact our family, if we contact and start those situations, if we contact people, and sometimes it goes wrong. You know, I had a situation in my life when I was in my 20s. I met my birth father, and when I met him, it was just like, there was no connection. It was so sad. There was no connection with him. And what that did for that very short time, I met him for about 2 years, 2.5 years, and then he passed away. But what that meant was he had another daughter, so we both had the same father, the same birth father. And it took me many, 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 many years to meet up with her because it went so wrong. But you know, when I used to pray about it, God used to tell me there'll be a right time. There'll be a right time, Sue. There'll be a right time to meet her. And now we have a fantastic relationship. So what I'm saying is, relationships in families can be difficult. Relationships in families with children can be difficult. Some of you are in recovery, and some of you have got difficulty with relationships with children and stepchildren. You've got relationships, but what I want to tell you is if you put the right seed with God in, you will harvest a great relationship. It will be restored and it will be repaired. And I am testimony to that many, 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 many times over. I had one sister and now I have five. Many times over, I have been restored. But what I want to say to you is you have to put those seeds out. You have to pray over those seeds. You have to ask God for wisdom. But there's nothing that God can't do. Be grateful to yourself and others, and I find that quite hard. Sowing into our daily life and praying as you sow over relationships and situations. Sow. And if that relationship now is still a mess and not right, pray. Sow. Because you will reap a harvest. Slide 7. Put God first and all things will be added to you. This is a kingdom principle. Put God first in all the things that you do and everything else will be added to you. Everything you need will be added to you. Everything you need will be added. Now I want to just cover this for 2 minutes because I've heard this a lot and I'm going to just kind of dispel this myth for some of you. Is sowing and reaping like karma? The answer is no. And for those of you that are young people, I want you to listen to this because it's really important. There's lots of stuff out there and it says, oh, well, it's like this and it's very similar to the Bible. I want to tell you it's not. Karma is not the same thing as reaping and sowing. It's really not. Paul's warning may sound to our ears akin to the teaching of karma. But karma has its roots in Indian religions like Hinduism and Buddhism. The law of karma employs cause and effect, similar to what Paul was saying about what you reap and what you sow, but it is not the same. So when I was looking into this, I thought, right, how do I do this? So I've put together a small table. If any of you want a copy of this afterwards, just talk to me. But I want to, and for the purpose of the tape, for the recording, I'm just going to try and put this across the best I can and quite quickly. So those of you that are in church, just have a look at this next slide, slide 8. Can you see that? Just turn the lights down, please, Ray. Just turn the light if you can, please. I'm just going to speak over it. The rest of you can read it in church. Can you see that now? Can you read it? Is that better? Okay. So what I've got up for those that are listening is I've got a column that says reaping and sowing, and then I've got karma on the other side. And I just was trying to think about this, and I know it's quite a hard concept, but what I want to say is that reaping and sowing is the believer works and not the grounds of salvation. So the scripture is Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. We are not saved by works. Now karma talks about one's own good or bad actions are said to offer liberation from cycles of rebirth. Karma believes that if you're good, then when you come back as something and live again, that you'll be reborn and you'll have a better life. We don't believe that. On the reaping and sowing side again, it says, instead believers reap by grace from the work of Jesus Christ on their behalf for the salvation they could never earn. In these Indian religions, there is no Jesus. There's no Jesus Christ. So there is no ultimate justice in the world where God in perfect goodness and judges all evil. On the reaping and sowing side again, a believer works in response to Christ's sacrifice. John 3:16. God sent his son to die for us, that we would have eternal life. There is no, on the karma side, there is no Lord who sacrifices himself in his love for the world. On the reaping and sowing side, sin is forgiven. When Jesus died, he nailed those sins on the cross. We don't have that anymore. Jesus' sacrifice was enough. There is no explanation in karma how sins are forgiven. On the reaping and sowing side, Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead. In karma, there's no historical reality of a bodily resurrection from the dead by Jesus Christ. It enables our hope of future of a future resurrection of like kind. In a lot of the Indian religions, people are resurrected and born again and come back as various different things. We believe that we are born and we die once. On the resurrection, that Jesus was resurrected and that we will be resurrected with him. The Holy Spirit who enables the helper, this is on the reaping and sowing. We have a hope in a future, sowing spiritually will reap a spiritual harvest. On the karma side, there's no spirit who indwells and enables the good works of those who believe. We have a connection with God. When we say yes to God, our spirit then becomes alive. That spiritual space inside us connects with God in spirit. And that is life-changing. That doesn't happen in karma. So I just wanted to make those things clear because I think sometimes we're told things and they're not true. And the Holy Spirit is truth. The next slide. Sowing in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, what I just spoke about, a new life has begun. Being born spiritually is so important because this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. This is the new sowing. So some of you, there's a few here who've not been here for a couple of months. You've come back to God. You've started a new relationship with God. You've prayed that prayer. You're now in the new sowing and the new reaping. Spiritual fruit will come into your life and in this world. I encourage you to sow in the Spirit. John 6, verse 63. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. This is why we have to come back to the Word of God. This is why the Word of God is the seed. Because for all these explanations, the answers are in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 3. I urge you, this is slide 10. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that you can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Key words here are, In prayer and thanksgiving. Let's not be people who moan about circumstances. If you find this next week that you're going to start moaning about a circumstance, I hope the Holy Spirit reminds you to stop. And instead of moaning, pray with thanksgiving. That's what we're told to do. But let's sow. And so, and this will produce the fruit of godliness and dignity in us and in circumstances. I want people to look at my life and I want them to see godliness and dignity. I want them to see someone who loves God but has the anointing of the Spirit and has godliness and dignity. Those are my desires. I want to show you this slide 11. This was recently, it isn't this picture, but it's one like it. Me and Andy were a bit shocked. I think it was while we were away. When the floods and all that rain came, or just after we got back, this was a farmer's field. It isn't the identical one on the news, but it was like this. And we felt so much for this farmer because he just sowed this field at a cost of thousands of pounds. And you just thought, this poor man, as it's almost like setting fire to thousands of pounds because this was the field. And sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can have that field. We can have that disappointment. We can have that being disheartened. We can have sometimes that emptiness. We can have that feeling that God's not doing something. What I want to say to you is, don't get tired of doing what is good. It's crackling this. Just ignore it. Don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So it might look like that on the inside. It might look like that in your head. The situation might look like that. But don't give up and keep sowing. And finally, slide 12. An encouragement for sowing good seed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And Luke 18, verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. You will reap more than you sow. Sorry, there's one more slide. So the last slide is Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Press down. Shaken together, running over, and they will pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I always think of that there's an overflow, that there's a measure, but then it's an overflow, and that overflow will touch other people that are in my life. And finally, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, he will multiply the seed you sow and increase your generous yield. So how do I want to summarise with this crackly microphone? Keep sowing. It's not just seasonal. It's not just for a very short time and then you have a rest. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Don't give up. If you're a friend of someone who wants to give up, encourage them. That's why encouragement in the church is so important. Sometimes people say, and you'll hear it, and if you hear it again, please quote this. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Yeah, I understand that. But to keep being a Christian, you have to come to church. Because it's at church that you get encouraged. It's at church that you praise and worship as a body. I love praising and worship at home. I love me Alexa telling it what to play. This morning I've been on my computer. I've been listening to Chris Tomlin. I love it. But I tell you what, there's no substitute for being here. No substitute for singing with you all. So next time somebody says, well, you don't have to be a Christian to be in church. You say, yeah, but to be encouraged and to keep going and not give up, you need to be here. All right. Bless you this week. Amen.